grab your glass of wine.
Unless you're driving.
And join us for this week's topic.
Hello, Demericana listeners. Welcome to episode number 3 of the Demericana podcast. I'm Benzie.
And I'm Wilkes. Hi.
And today we have a topic that we're going to touch on. But before we even jump into that, I haven't seen Wilkie in a little bit.
You abandoned me.
I was actually up north in New Jersey. I have a lot of family up there. I was going to say familia. And I went for a quinceañero, which is like the Hispanic version of a sweet 16.
Right.
But you do it, you know, for your 15th birthday instead. And I had so much fun. A random snowfall happened, so I got to see snow, take awesome pictures. But what did you do when I was gone?
Well, you were gone, Benz. I cried.
I knew you did.
Cried all day for the whole weekend. No, we went to Lake Ridge, this little winery in Claremont.
Oh, awesome! And I've been wanting to go there. I have never been, but I've heard of
it. It's delicious. I mean, we've tasted the wine before, and I love wine, guys. I do, but I'm getting the hint that red wine is like an acquired taste, like yogurt.
Okay.
It's like red wine is very, you know, like they always say that yogurt's an acquired taste.
Okay, I don't know.
Like, not everybody likes yogurt.
I don't remember not liking yogurt. Anyway, you were saying.
We digress, as always. Anyway, this red wine, but the grapes that are grown in Florida are only, like, for sweet wine. So even the red wine is, like, it's, like, a little dry, but it has, like, a sweet finish.
Yeah, actually, you gave me a glass
of... The Southern Red.
And I happened to have mentioned it to a friend of mine, and he was like, oh, my God, you have to try the Southern Red. And I'm like, I think I did! And it was amazing. So I have to go.
They're free wine tastings. Ergo. So you might want to go on a Saturday, so Sunday you can recover.
Build a belly.
A belly. We went, and there's always like a festival. We went during the jazz festival, so that was fun. We got like you know, you get the little tour, and then you get a wine tasting, and they do from like the heavy reds all the way to like their port, you know, you go through their sweet and then their dessert, and then you have like a port wine at the end, and then champagne. We bought a couple. We bought, like, 4 because on the 4th one, you get $2 off.
Oh, so you saved quite a bit.
Listen, we were probably a little drunk at that point. We were like, all the bottles, just
give them
all. You know,
it's kind of like when you go shopping somewhere and you're like, oh my God, I'm only $20 away from free shipping.
Yeah.
And I'd rather pay $20 for an extra item than $6 for shipping.
Isn't that the ridiculous thing?
But the thing is, when you think about it, you're thinking to yourself, okay, I'm getting an item for $20 rather than $6 for nothing, which I would have gotten anyway.
That's true.
You're kind of like, I can justify buying a $20 shirt because if I saw it at the mall, I would get it.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true.
So that's how I always justify it, but that's just me spending money.
That's just the shopaholic in us, right? It's like how you can justify bad habits. So our way of justifying buying a ton of alcohol is we got $2 off at the end.
Gosh.
So we focused on getting the ones that we don't find at the supermarket and like the wine, the total wine.
Wine Emporium.
I always say Wine Emporium.
I don't know why.
But if any of you are near a Total Wine, if there's one in your area, go. It's like a grown-up playground. They have cheese tastings. They have wine tastings. They like teach you how to, you know, pair wines. They have like classes, they do every alcohol tasting, like, you know, Leo, we went one weekend, and he got drunk off tequila, and it was like, they, like, tried, it was like a tequila flight, and we're just like, oh, gosh.
No, but for
still
me,
like, shop, we still have to drive home.
I've never been, but I feel like when it comes to wine over the past, like, 15 years, it's been, like, much more acceptable. It's no longer something that's, like, a shamefully hidden,
like,
secret of, like, some sort of, you know, housewife.
I feel like wine is sophisticated.
Yeah,
and
it is.
And it's funny because Leo always told me, like, he likes whiskey and beer or whatever. But, like, I'm not a mixed drink type of person. Like, I'll just drink wine. And so he's like, I always thought that was nice of you, like, or very, like, sophisticated or, like, attractive that you like wine. I'm like,
but you know
I
what?
Just like wine.
You'll hear another man who's like, ooh, that girl can shoot whiskey. Or,
yeah,
like, they
and
think
that's
it's
attractive
cool.
To them,
yeah, they think it's cool that she can go up to a bar and she can order, like, a Jack and Ginger and know exactly what goes in it, you know. But I don't know. And I think when it comes down to it, if you just drink what you like, then fine. Yeah. But even today, like, before we came, I came here to record.
Ben's brought me a console. You're trying to win me over again because I missed you so much. She brought pink Moscato,
and which is delicious. It's so good. And I was literally, like, I went to Wawa, which is an amazing gas station that just opened in Florida Wawa a couple years ago. That what you hear I'm is pouring wine. Myself some.
My fourth
give
glass.
Give me a little more. Give me a little more.
My, here. Third glass.
This is only, like, 2.5 for me. One of us have to keep our head on.
One of us has to not be so cloudy.
So I went to Wawa, and I'm looking, and I'm like, cheers. Okay. Oh, cheers. So I'm looking, and I'm like, okay, so should I get her, like, they had, like, the Shandy, or is it Shandy?
Yeah.
You know that I wanted to get you one, and I was like, I don't know if she's going to like that, and she's going to sit it there or drink it, like, forced. So I was like, let me just get a tried and true classic, our pink Moscato.
There it is.
And another day, maybe for, like, I don't know, some sort of day
party.
So
maybe we'll do that. Maybe we'll share you guys can go with us on our journey of becoming wine connoisseurs, right?
Yeah. Like, not drunkards.
Not drunkards, but just know. Like, I like being able to know, like, we had shrimp tonight for dinner. Like, what wine matches with that, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I would love to know that and just have, you know.
I am not ashamed to go to a gas station and buy a bottle of wine. I will tell you that right now. Yeah. But I would love to be able to say, I have this really awesome bottle that I'm going to share.
I think that's really cool, too.
Yeah, I know it's an investment because you're like, dang, like, I'm paying $37 or whatever. And that's probably inexpensive for actual wine connoisseurs.
So when we say in our intro to grab a glass of wine, we're serious.
We actually have glasses of wine.
We have glasses of wine, and we're going to try to incorporate that in any new wine that we like. So right now, this is the Barefoot.
Very popular, very common.
Most awarded wine brand.
Because I feel like
brought to you by Barefoot Pink Moscato.
We're not getting
not yet, but we hope.
If you hear us, Barefoot, you can email us at theamericanapodcast@gmail.com. But actually, going into that, if you guys have anything else, like any sort of wine suggestions that you're like, hey, this is my favorite, let us know, because we kind of stick to the same thing because we know it.
Yeah.
But if you guys are like, no, I really like this kind of sangria, let us know and we'll talk about what we think. We're not wine connoisseurs at all.
No.
But we are
your... would love to be.
Yes, we are your junior wine connoisseurs.
Help. Help us.
Help us help you. So anyway, going back to the topic at hand,
right.
We had said earlier in the podcast that we have a topic that is going to stir the proverbial pot.
Right.
And it's interesting that we say stir the proverbial pot because, let me just preface this by saying, America is a melting pot.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens if you stir the pot too much? This melting pot that we're referring to. As you guys know, we like to talk about current events that are happening, things that we see in everyday life, or things that have become prevalent in the media over the past couple of days and weeks. So something that we've heard about for several years now, but I think has recently kind of taken an upswing over the past few months, has been cultural appropriation.
Right. So cultural appropriation is the adoption or use of elements of one culture by members of a different culture.
Yeah, and it's the key word, I think, here is the word adoption.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you think about the actual concept of adopting, let's say, a child, you're no longer thinking like, oh, you don't say this is my adopted son. You just say this is my kid.
Right.
You know, doesn't matter who they came from. Now this is yours. Everything you have is yours. Everything that is theirs is yours.
Right.
I'm sorry. Everything that you have is theirs. Everything that is theirs is yours. This is your child just as much as another person's child. So when they say the adoption of another culture's elements, you know, bringing it into your own, we can probably pinpoint several things that we're like, this is super American. French fries are American. Tacos have become an American kind of staple. You know, burritos are super American and have those elements been adopted into American culture? Absolutely. Would someone go so far as to say that's cultural appropriation? Probably not. Would you say that, Wilkes?
I would say,
you think we've appropriated food?
Yeah, okay. For sure, because I think, I'm going to start off by saying, I think everything is a copy of something else, right? Like, there's an idea, but then it's been muddled up and it's become other things. So, like, I know I had a friend who, she went to Mexico and she went to eat at a restaurant and she asked for a burrito. because she assumes since she went to Chipotle and got a burrito that, okay, well, I'm in Mexico and I'm in a Mexican restaurant and I can have a burrito. And like, they didn't have burritos because technically it's not really a Mexican food, but now you have it. You're so used to getting a burrito at Chipotle, you assume that it's Mexican, but it's really like an American version of Mexican food. And I think that it's almost become, maybe not part of the American, like it's become something that Americans made into being the Spanish, like a Mexican culture, like, if that makes sense.
Yeah, like what their interpretation of Mexican culture.
So like now, instead of the taco, and like even Taco Bell, every other day, for the Super Bowl, they had a commercial, like they changed now it's quesalupa or something, like a chalupa with cheese inside of the shell. It's like, that's not...
Like, you don't go to Mexico. Tacos are, you know? You don't go to Mexico and find a Doritos Locos taco.
Yeah, these hybrid...
And not everything is loco.
Yeah, like, so, coming from being Hispanic, I feel like, come on, you know, it's like plantains, like being at like Denny's or something. Mm-hmm. I feel weird ordering plantains if they were at Denny's or Friendly's or something like that.
Yeah, and I can see like...
God it's not there yet, but...
I mean, I think a part of me would like to think, well, I mean, it's cool that they're trying.
Yeah.
But it's almost like another part of you is almost immediately like, don't dabble in what you don't know. And I think it's like, I think that's what makes people feel a little sensitive about cultural appropriation. It's when you take a small part of someone's culture, but a very important part of it.
Right.
And you don't bother to learn the whys, the hows, the ins and outs of it.
Right.
And it's not because you're honoring the culture. It's because you are just trying to make it into a fashion statement.
Yeah.
Or you're trying to fit along with some sort of a trend. Because I think that burritos became a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
Back when I was in high school, it was like, burritos, I love burritos. My friend has burritos everywhere.
Yeah.
And it became this thing where you're just like, okay, so is it because you're like, wow, Mexican cuisine is amazing, and yet you do not know what champurrado is.
Right.
You don't know what Mexican street corn or mole.
You know.
You couldn't tolerate.
And we're not talking about guacamole, okay? Something different. But so I think, but then it turns around into being like, well, do we want to live in a world where, like, the only inspiration you're entitled to is the one from your own culture?
Because if you do that, now you're racist.
Right.
And you're closed-minded.
You're segregating, right? Like, only Japanese people can own Japanese restaurants. And or only, you know, a Spanish person. Like, if you're going to have a Dominican restaurant, then you have to be Dominican. And you can only be Dominican to eat there because you're the only one that can eat that food, right?
Yeah. It's it limits.
Now you're going back to segregating.
Yeah, and it's in this country, in America, you know, I'm an immigrant. I wasn't born here.
Mm-hmm.
I became naturalized. And I think about the fact that I can integrate myself into American culture.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to think that, like, back, you know, growing up, I had friends of all races and of all types. I had friends who were Filipino.
Sure.
I had friends who were Black. I had friends who were Hispanic like I was, friends who were white. And if they came over for dinner, they were having a Dominican meal. And they loved it. And it was like, oh, my God, your mom's cooking Spanish rice.
Yeah.
Like, oh, my God. And I never felt like, get away.
Yeah,
we have,
potatoes
and steak for you.
Yeah.
It was always like, yeah, come celebrate this with us. So I never looked at that as appropriation. But then I think about a friend of mine, a white friend of mine, who for her class picture had her Black friend do cornrows on her hair.
Okay.
And this is a white friend who had silky soft blonde hair, and it was really hard to get the cornrows in because her hair was so smooth.
Oh, it would like unravel?
It would unravel. It looked a little silly, and she was very much like trying to look cool. And you can tell, and she was very open about the fact that she would always say like, oh, I'm like an Oreo or an uh-oh Oreo.
Yeah.
Or I'm like Black on the inside. And it's like, yeah, but you're not struggling with what it means to be Black on the outside.
It's true.
You know?
Let's make it a distinction between appropriation versus appreciation, right?
Okay. So let's say, for instance, I actually went to Cozumel.
Mm-hmm.
My appreciation of the culture meant that I went and visited the museum that was there, It meant that I took a lot of pictures of me next to a Mexican flag and next to, you know, it's a touristy spot. Of course, they themselves created touristy locations. But within that touristy location, it was like, here's a statue that represents this, you know, Aztec god or what have you. And, or Mayan, I said Azteca, forgive me for my ignorance. But then you, I, for instance, saw a book bag that I really liked. And it was one of those very common ones that you see. It's like knit cloth. And it was so pretty, and I wanted to get one. And I ended up, we were, like, running late to go back to the ship, so I ended up just not getting it. But had I gotten it, is that appropriation? No. I appreciated the culture. I spent time there. You know, it was something that I thought was beautiful, and I never thought it made me Mexican.
Yeah.
I never thought that it gave me a right to claim whatever struggle or triumph that they have experienced onto myself. It was just a piece of that culture that I wanted to bring back with me.
And also, it wouldn't be like a stereotype, right? Because I think that's what kind of angers some people. It's like when they see that their culture has been watered down into a stereotype. And so, like, an example, and I think maybe what sparked this little topic in the first place was the Coldplay featuring Beyonce, like the Hymn for a Weekend. And so the whole thing to sum it up is that Coldplay and Beyonce, they have this song Hymn for the Weekend in their new album, and the video to it is they're in India or in Bombay, and they're in they're in the streets, and they're, you know, they highlight different parts of the Indian culture, and they have, you know, like a spiritual leader walking down the street. It's like a bunch of kids, and they're celebrating the Holi festival, and there's an actual Bollywood star in the video.
Yeah, she does like a little cameo. And it's really apparent, like, the concept apparently is that Beyonce's character in the video is herself a Bollywood star.
Right.
And then Chris Martin goes and sees her at a theater. And Wilkes, you were actually the one who told me Chris Martin and the rest of Coldplay were actually there in Mumbai, and they had the ability of, like, interacting with the people. They had locals come out. Right. Even to the point where there's a scene where this old man is, like, setting up the film inside of the projector.
Yeah.
And he's been doing it for over 20 years.
Right.
And they were like, oh my God, he did it in seconds. And they featured this native Indian man, you know, doing what he does day in and day out. So that, I consider that portion right there appreciation.
And also, I read that the director was Indian.
So he kind of can gauge.
So maybe he was like the anchor, right? He was like, well, this, I want to highlight this, this, and this of my country, right?
And we would like to think that he knew when to put a stop to something if it became
enough to be politically
ridicule.
Correct, right? Okay, so then a lot of people on Twitter, you know, everything becomes a Twitter war, had a really big problem with Beyonce. Queen B, I know, I love her too, but sometimes, you know,
she's a human.
And so they said that she, first of all, she didn't fly there. And so she was,
so it was
like
just like a green screen?
She was a green screen kind of thing. And she's only really as the movie, like, as the movie star. So she's only pictured in the movie screen, right, in the video. That she's dressed up in traditional wear. And so she's got henna, and she's got, like, the all-seeing, you know, all things that are particular to Indian religion. And so
even down to the clothes she's wearing, and again, I can't say that I'm some sort of, like, you know, professor or, like, professional.
We're
or
not any, yeah,
you
know,
we're definitely not super historian or anything, but I will say that as far as my understanding goes, the clothing she's wearing may or may not have a religious significance, but it's still a cultural significance. And she was wearing this beautiful crown kind of thing on her head. She looked amazing.
She looks great. I mean, I'm not going to take that away from it. The video is visually appealing, you know, because you see the Holi festival, and that in itself, it's beautiful, right? There's a bunch of colors, and everyone's, like,
and it's not the Color Run, which people were like, this reminds me of the Color Run. It's like, oh, please.
So, okay, perfect example. Then that's a good segue. So people were mad about a couple things. They were mad that it was very stereotypical video that they only highlighted India's poverty and the Holi festival and, you know, bought like henna. And so they only took stereotypical things that people already know about India and they just wanted to be like, okay, here, you know, this is what's going to be in the video. Mm-hmm. So then they had to replicate or reenact the Holi festival because it's technically not Holi.
It wasn't the time
period. It wasn't the season for it. So they like did a small little reenactment of it. So they said, well, that takes away from the sacredness of it. And then there's that, the henna that Beyonce has, but then meanwhile they have her starring as a Bollywood star, but they have a real legitimate Bollywood star, and her cameo is like 2 seconds long.
Do you think it would have been different if they would have chosen her, that woman, as the Bollywood star, and Beyonce was dressed probably in her Indian garment, mm-hmm. but she was just like somebody, not necessarily in the background, right. but a spectator the way that Chris Martin was?
Yeah.
Do you think that would have been more appropriate?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I think it would have been appropriate, like, okay, let's say, I'm not going to knock Coldplay, because I think they learned from, like you were saying, like, mm-hmm. we all know this is not their first time doing this. Like, the song with Rihanna, the Princess of China, mm-hmm. that was, like, a blatant. Like, mm-hmm. that was just, no, don't, they just, you know, they costumed Rihanna in a whole bunch of different Asian wear. Mm-hmm. And so, I think they kind of immersed themselves more this time around. Like, they went and they traveled there.
And Chris Martin is also known for, like, his humanitarian work there. So you can say this is not like they pulled. It wasn't like a grab bag of culture that they're just like, okay, well, this looks kind of Indian. You would like to think that his appreciation of the culture is authentic because he actually takes time out of his life for humanitarian aid.
And so it was almost like, well, then did Beyonce really need to be in the video? Probably not. If she didn't go, like, you know, her vocals are in it. It's not like she has a whole verse. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's just her on the chorus. Mm-hmm. And there's plenty of videos where, you know, the band or the singer isn't even in. Like, they could have had the Bollywood star and, you know, highlighted something pretty, because I'm sure people were just upset that, you know, this famous, she's apparently very famous, and so she could have been the highlight, and mm-hmm. it could have been like, wow, you know, made her something, and bring her to the American eye, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we would take notice of who she was.
But then, it's such a double-edged sword that you're walking on, because now it's, okay, do we have this woman play a role, and then she becomes super beloved here in America, and suddenly it's like, no, like, she's ours to keep.
Right,
because
okay,
you're always going to
that.
Have those people who are like, you know, take, you know, leave it to America, or leave it to this country, or to mm-hmm. that culture, to, you know, take one of our most famous, beloved artists, and suddenly she's an American Indian, you know, an American from India,
right.
you know, artist or what have you. And I don't know, I think it's impossible to please everyone. I think Chris Martin, I think Coldplay learned mm-hmm. and probably did a wiser thing this time around.
Right.
But do you think, Wilkes, had this video come out 10 years ago, that it would have had such a big stink? Do you think let's think about it like this. Have we become more sensitive, or have we become, are people's opinions more visible because of media? Which one is it?
I think both.
Okay.
I think we're unfortunately living in a generation where we get so easily offended by everything, and maybe we make everything a racial thing. And I think social media has just just made it so much easier to have like a mob mentality. Like, you know, they released a video, and then it was like, you know, all these tweets of people saying like, you know, what is this? It's cultural appropriation, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, it's so condensed. It's like so much at the same time. And it's like this whole catalog. Like, you can just search the hashtag, you know, him for a weekend, and you see all the tweets, and it's like all the bad things, right? Mm-hmm. Like, before, I think if it happened, 15 years ago, then mm-hmm. maybe it would have been like, okay, pretty. And if people had a problem with it, it would have just been like, like this, like what we're doing, like having a conversation, maybe not with the recording, but just us talking about it, and we would have let it go.
And it wouldn't have been, it couldn't have been such a big thing, because it was really hard for people to put everything out there for everyone to see or to read. Now, going back to, let's bring up Michael Jackson when he did the video, when he was Egyptian. Does he get a pass because he's black in Egypt and Africa? Does he get a pass because he was talking about, like, pharaohs, and that's no longer a culture that's around? You know, it's a history of the Egyptian people, but...
I think...
Or is the timeline, like, here matter? It was done so long ago that it's almost like nobody was offended back then.
That's absolutely true. I didn't think that far. But it's like how, you know, now things are just... This is such an umbrella topic, right? Mm-hmm. And that's maybe, like, is the line too thin?
Mm-hmm.
Like, is the line where it's, like, so much so that we can't enjoy, like, noodles because that's an Asian, like, you know, or you can't have pizza because that's an Italian, like, is it that far out or is it just specific things you can't do? So, like, let's say, let's do this. Mm-hmm. What are the do's and don'ts? Like, the... What is absolutely never do, mm-hmm. because it's absolutely and will always be wrong, and there's no, like, justification for it? And what is, like, the do of the social, of cultural appropriation?
The don't would be, for me, and I get really sensitive when it comes to, like, Native American cultural mm-hmm. appropriation, because I took a class in college about just Latin, or just women of color in general, so we explored literature from Asian women, Hispanic women, black women, Native American women, and I was just so enthralled by Native American culture,
mm-hmm.
and I was able to learn so much about their past sufferings, and even their current sufferings, and that's really when my eyes were open to cultural appropriation with them, and so for me, making that fake Indian, like, noise, where you, like, you tap your hand on your mouth, to me, that's the most, I don't even want to do it right now, it's the most offensive thing, well, not the most, but it's one of those that it's just, like, you did it as a child in your ignorance, but you're no longer, don't teach your children to play cowboys and Indians,
because
we know who people are going to assume are the bad ones,
right.
You know, and it's so heartbreaking when we think about how that's now become a big joke, when no one knows where that kind of call came from.
That's true.
You know. How about you, Wilkes? What do you think is, like, a
do? I think absolutely never do is blackface.
Okay. Now, Wilkes, you and I were discussing this previously, and you brought up the movie Tropic Thunder.
Okay.
Where Robert...
I think blackface is just a no. Like, okay, so there's the... A couple years ago, Julianne Hough did Crazy Eyes from Orange is the New Black.
Mm-hmm.
She dressed up as her, and she did a blackface. And so, it was wrong, right? Because I get you're trying to do the costume, but you could have done that easily with the hairdo, and just, like, she had, like, a little name tag or whatever. Like, you don't have to go the extra step and be blackface,
and
right?
I think the taboo thing about blackface is that, culturally, it came from movies in the past,
right,
where they would not hire black actors or actresses,
right,
and they had to have, like, a man or a woman play it, and always the black actor was depicted as the criminal, the
mm-hmm.
rapist, the villain, and it was a man with, like, tar-colored ink or
like,
paint
back
on
in
his
the
face.
Day, that was
so the connotation is the historical meaning behind it.
But then blackface can also be an umbrella statement for, like, a Cinco de Mayo party, like the whole, you know, dressing up in a poncho and a sombrero and a mustache.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, don't do that, right? You
mm-hmm.
know, that's not what Cinco de Mayo means.
Mm-hmm.
It's not Cinco de Drinko. I know you guys want to get drunk because I'm totally, like, look, I'm not, we're not coming from, like, holier than thou.
We've all been there. We've all done it.
You know, Cinco de Mayo and Taco Tuesday, we're all about it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, sometimes when you really want to think about it, and you do think about it, and you're just realizing, like, well, wait a minute, this is wrong, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think definitely blackface is a no for me.
Okay, so going back, I brought up Tropic Thunder because it was Robert Downey Jr.'s character who was playing a white man,
right,
who within the movie was playing a black man, and then when he's like, see, that's what's wrong with you people, and then the Robert Downey Jr. said, what do you mean, you people, and then the actual black character, the actual black man was like, what do you mean, you people, and it was like, it was almost like the movie was making fun of itself, and it was painting blackface as a big no-no.
Right.
So in that case, when you're highlighting it like that, I think that's one of those really gray areas.
Yeah.
Where it was supposed to be like a joke, but it was like a joke that was making fun of itself.
Right.
And it was a joke that was deprecating itself.
Yeah.
You know? So I wouldn't, I think they tread very, very sensitive territory.
Yeah. It's very much like White Chicks, right? Mm-hmm. The Wayans Brothers movie where they go white face, right? Like, they are African-Americans, and they dress up as white girls, and they do all the, they sing A Thousand Miles, mm-hmm. and, you know, they're...
The quote-unquote typical white girl
white girl
thing.
Song, mm-hmm. and they do all the white girl things, and then, you know, in one scene, doesn't, like, one of the Wayans brothers braid the girl's hair, and, like, she's, like, really good at it, and she's like, oh my god, like... So it's like, you know, that one's almost like self-deprecating too, I guess. Like, it adds the hint of comedy. So can you do it under the veil of comedy? Right? Like,
I think if you have a white man dressing up as two black girls and acting black, or mm-hmm. what they define as black, I think that would be offensive right off the bat. But that's because, in reality, looking back to history, in the black history in America, there is a longer history of slavery and segregation and suffering than there has been a history of freedom to this point.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I think it's still one of those things where it's like, whoa, too soon. You have to wait another 200 years
but
of
do
complete
you,
equality.
Does, like, that's one thing that I will say, and I might be like, have an unpopular opinion here, but it's like, why is it like, I get it, okay? What you said, I totally agree about mm-hmm. that. But I do want to say, like, why is it different that the Wayans brothers dressed up and did stereotypical white girl things, mm-hmm. but then it's so much worse when, if it would have been the other way around, like, oh, a white guy dressed up as a black girl?
I think it has to do with, again, the historical connotation.
Yeah.
The oppression that had to be faced by people of color is still very fresh. You mm-hmm. can speak to a grandmother, a black grandmother, a black African-American, or black a great-grandmother, and she can tell you vividly, probably, the kind of segregation that she had to experience in her childhood and in her youth, because it's something that's so recent. Whereas you cannot look back and think of white people being oppressed. So it's not that it's necessarily right. I don't think I would agree necessarily, like, oh my god, that's hilarious. But yeah. To be objective, I mean, I've seen it and I've laughed at the movie. I feel a lot of us have.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think anyone has really stopped and thought, this is cultural appropriation.
Right. What if it was like a Spanish person dressing up
as a black person?
Yeah.
I think that there is a huge...
We're both seen as a past?
We're both seen as a minority. We're seen as a subculture of America. And so there's a solidarity that's there. Now, if you're going to split hairs, even within the Hispanic culture,
yeah.
We being Dominican women, can we... Okay, we're kind of veering off a little bit here, but
yeah.
The movie In the Time of the Butterflies, which highlights about the Mirabal sisters and the Dominican Republic during Trujillo's dictatorship there mm-hmm. from like the 30s through the 60s, there was a movie that came out with Salma Hayek, and Mark Anthony was
right.
also in it. This is a Puerto Rican singer and a Mexican actress.
Yeah.
And they were playing Dominican roles.
And Trujillo was played by a Mexican.
By a Mexican. And so these are Dominican roles, and you can't help and wonder, you know, why couldn't they use Dominican
right.
actresses and actors? But then, so even within a culture, there is cultural
yeah.
appropriation or offense.
It's true, because even now, you have, I don't know if you've seen it, but Narcos on Netflix?
No, I haven't.
So it's
it.
The Pablo mm-hmm. Escobar story, mm-hmm. and the person who, the majority of the cast, first of all, is like Portuguese.
Mm-hmm.
And so you could, it is, okay, this is what bothered like us when we watched it. It's that like, their Spanish is very different
mm-hmm.
from like Colombian and Spanish, like, we're all Spanish, but our dialects are very different.
Even our accents.
Yeah, our accents
mm-hmm.
are very different, and so, Portuguese is very, it's a mix of, like, what, like, French and a little bit of other languages, so
it's
you
a
can
romance
kind of
language,
hear
yeah.
their inflections are different, and their accent, and they speak with their tongue a little bit more,
mm-hmm.
like, that kind of lisp
mm-hmm. with,
one.
Like, the theta, mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so, it frustrated me, because I'm just, like, you know, there's plenty of Colombian actors if they want, because they stick to the actual story. You know, like, they kind of try to be true to the Pablo Escobar thing, but then the majority is Portuguese. And, like, one person had to, like, who is Pablo? He said that he went back to school to learn Spanish because he didn't know it.
And we even think about, like, okay, one of the biggest Hispanic-themed movies in America was Selena.
Yeah, and it was
Jennifer Lopez, who was born and raised in New York, of Puerto Rican parents.
Terrible Spanish, by
the
way.
She didn't know how to speak Spanish. Uh-huh. She had to learn it for the movie, for the little parts that she had in Spanish. And they think to themselves, they had a huge cast. J-Lo had already been in Anaconda.
Yeah.
And she just was...
So it's like the ticket, the name.
Yeah, but she also had, like, the chops. She knew how to act. I think she's a fantastic actress. She knew how to dance. I mean, she made a singing career out of it. And it's not to speak about her talents in either one of those arenas. But
she was great in it. She looked like her. It's, like, I think actually that scary was how much she looks like her.
And it was one of those things where, can we look at that from an outsider's perspective and think, yes, this is not cultural appropriation. This is a Hispanic woman playing a Hispanic woman. But then you come down to the nitty-gritty and you're like, it's a Puerto Rican woman playing a Mexican woman, you know? And that, I think, comes... It's like saying, well, this is a Detroit family being played by a family from Houston.
That's where it gets too thin, right? The line is, like, way too... Like, it's too...
Because we can't make that argument and then also fight for cultural representation in the media... When it's like, there's no way you're going to represent over 300-400 countries. Yeah. There's just no way you can do it. So, you had asked, do you think had a black man dressed up as a Hispanic woman or vice versa? I think there's solidarity between minorities. I think that just culturally you will see, and just speaking towards even my connection from high school and the cliques that form, it was... generally very common to see minorities hanging out with one another because there was this unspoken bond of whatever, what have you, whatever, you know, life or expectation you were given as a minority. So I think it's not necessarily makes it okay, but again, stepping back and looking objective at it, it makes sense.
Yeah.
You know,
I think a good, a more relevant thing is the Macklemore, you know, the rapper. He's released a couple songs, and he released a song called White Privilege, and there's a part one and a part two. And it just kind of talks about, it's like a introspective look of, he recognizes that he's a white, essentially he's the minority in the hip-hop culture, right? And so he talks about it, and he's actually talking to other white people, saying like, you know, you guys like me, because I'm white, but I'm taking from this culture, right? Like, I'm taking from the people that you wouldn't go and you don't go to see their concerts because they're black. And so he has this really good line in the part one where he goes, like, hip-hop started off on a block that I've never been to counteract a struggle that I've never even been through. If I think I understand just because I flow too, that means I'm not keeping it true. So it's like he recognizes that he, you know, he didn't go through the struggles that most rappers did, right? Like, he didn't have to sell drugs, or he didn't live in the projects because he already started off with, he went to college, right? Like, so
not to say that those are things that are, you know, specific only to black
people. Okay, yeah.
Or the only reality that black people
but
have.
But at least that's what people kind of say to him when he, like, oh, he's not a rapper, he's white. But then they look at Eminem and they kind of accept him into the hip-hop culture, right?
Yeah, and I think the difference with Eminem was that he really quickly connected with Dr. Dre, who was very respected in hip-hop culture to begin with. So it was almost like he had a, like a card, like a vouch, he was vouched for.
Yeah, he had his street cred.
And he also came from 8 Mile and Detroit, and it was just like this thing
and
where...
let's face it, he's better than most rappers out right now.
Oh, absolutely.
And he will be forever on everyone's list. He's a great
talent.
Yeah,
he's always on like top 10.
So. Oh, for sure. He's a great talent.
So does talent give you a pass?
I think so, but, and I think Macklemore would, I think it was, he's talented, you know, like, if you go back to his older things, you know, before he did his whole, like, I'm gonna pop some, you know, his more commercial mainstream, he's actually good, and so I think people kind of put him in a box where, no, he can't be good, because he's a rich white guy and whatever, you know.
But then if you think about what, you know, going down that line, if you think about someone, let's just say, and again, it could be anybody of any race, and it is not by any means the only reality of people of minority, but let's say that we think about a Jay-Z who did grow up in the projects, mm-hmm. who did grow up in poverty, who was forced to sell drugs. That is not what makes him good.
Right.
His talent is what makes him good, because you can have somebody who has the same upbringing as Jay-Z and still mm-hmm. be a crappy rapper. He could be a crapper.
Yeah. But that's the wine kicking in. No, I'm kidding.
Class number two. Back to back. So it's just one of those things where it's too fine of a line. There is definitely no black or white. Because, okay, bringing up, I think, one of the biggest things that brought cultural appropriation to the forefront several years ago was when H&M released these pink and blue Indian headdresses.
Oh.
For, like, right around Coachella time.
Oh, God, Coachella.
I think I have a love-hate for Coachella.
Me too.
Because I'm like, that's so cool.
I would love to be at a concert mm-hmm. where it's like so, or at a festival where so many of the artists that I like are there mm-hmm. at the same time, which is probably the greatest. But then I think it's just the biggest disrespect. Like, I think almost everyone thinks if you're going to Coachella, then you have to wear a headdress. Or you have to wear, like,
feathers and moccasins clothing. Or something.
Yeah.
And I think, I mean, I would like to think, not like to think, but my first assumption was they're trying to relive what they imagined Woodstock to be, mm-hmm. which was in the 60s and 70s, that whole culture of, like, love and peace and just hippie culture generally included those kind of aspects. It included beads and feathers, and at the time it wasn't probably considered cultural appropriation. Mm-hmm. It was just a bunch of, you know, the parents probably thought it was a bunch of kids high on weed.
Yeah.
You know, and now I feel people are trying to relive it, and they romanticize this, and they try to do that.
Oh, yeah, that's why I think there's so many music festivals.
Yeah, because now it's like, oh, let's live it, you know, let's live the way that they lived back then. It was freedom mm-hmm. and all this, and I think it's fine to appreciate it, but I think the headdress was the first time that it's like, do you realize that my father still wears one during A, B, and C ceremony because he earned the place to do so? And right. you're walking around acting like if it's okay for you to do it. And I don't know. It's just, it's one of those things where
it's like when you take the biggest, it's just a disrespect, right? Like, it's, you're taking a sacred artifact and you're making it an accessory.
Yeah.
For
and
you
I
to
think,
go and it, you know, and wear it to a music festival. It's like, there's a time and a place. If you don't know what it means, and you, maybe, okay, let's chalk it up to ignorance, and they don't understand, and they don't know. Well, then, if you're going to wear something, don't wear it just because, mm-hmm. right? We all know what a swastika is. We're not going to wear one because we think it's, no, because mm-hmm. you know the history behind it. So it should be the same with, you know, a headdress. Don't see it as, like, a new hat. You look
once. You can only use the ignorance card once.
Yeah.
And then once you find out that you were being ignorant, it is your, I think, your obligation to either cease immediately and completely and make some sort of, like, a general apology. You don't have to go, like, onto the news station.
Yeah.
Be like, man, I probably shouldn't have put that up there.
Yeah.
Don't be naive enough to think that what you're doing is okay, because I think that people who come across it have also come across the term of cultural appropriation.
Oh,
I think it's
for
big
sure,
enough.
Especially now. It's like,
so big.
It's
you
a
know?
Big. It's lately been a big fuss, right? Because Rachel Dolezal, right? You know, she was the white Caucasian mm-hmm. who would, you know, portray, like, lived her life as an African American until her parents came forward and were like, no, she's not. You know,
these are her pictures of in middle school.
This is her
school.
As a child with blonde hair mm-hmm. and, you know,
they're both
pale
white.
Skin. Mm-hmm. They're both white. You know, she even had the audacity to say that no, they're not her parents or something,
like,
right?
Yeah, she was really fighting to keep that card, and she curled her hair.
Yeah.
She got tans all the time. She even had, like, people
she
were...
She married an African-American,
mm-hmm.
and...
She even had this instance where she was like, oh, you know, the black experience is that you walk into a movie where there is some sort of racial profiling or something like that, and of course all eyes come to me, the black woman. And she wasn't black. It comes to find out she's not black.
Yeah, she's not.
So is cultural appropriation strictly about race? Because now, and again, this is a touchy subject.
Yeah.
Now, Rachel Dolezal cannot be black but Bruce Jenner can be a woman.
True.
You know, and so you stop and think everyone was okay because now it's like, no, Bruce Jenner's reality now is Caitlyn Jenner.
Mm-hmm.
And who is to tell Caitlyn that she's not real? Well, who is to tell Rachel Dolezal that she is not a black woman?
Right. It can, you're saying, like, can gender be appropriate?
Yeah, can
gender... So gender roles. So, like, now, you know, I kind of brought it up to you a couple weeks ago where I saw that Jaden Smith
mm-hmm.
is the face of Louis Vuitton's women's wear. So it's like a man, a boy, or mm-hmm. however he is, 17, 18, mm-hmm. I don't even know. But he's wearing a skirt, and it's, like, supposed to be... gender fluid, this new thing, or mm-hmm. maybe androgyny, or
yeah, I think it's more to be like androgyny and be who you are. But then there was this big stink
but
about the Rachel,
like,
Dolezal thing.
You know, uh-huh. it's like women are underpaid, right? Or there's
so why couldn't you give that high paying job
to a woman? Because it's woman's wear
it's
after
women's
all,
wear.
Right? Like women's
and
wear.
If a
why
woman,
would you do a man?
If a woman was made the face of a men's wear line,
it'd be like. It'd be strange, right?
I don't know. I mean, maybe it's just our culture, you know, where we're just like, I don't know, I feel it's a little weird. Other people would probably be like, wow, that's fantastic. But then I think that it becomes, it's very memeable all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm.
You're always going to have people who are like, this is, why have we been doing this? There's a book that I read called The Giver, very popular.
Mm-hmm.
And the culture in The Giver is that there is this completely homogenized culture. No one is better than someone else. Gender doesn't matter. The only reason it matters is because of your reproductive capabilities.
Right.
But a man can be a nurse and a woman can be a shipyard worker.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is in this movie, they start saying the reason that this happened is because people were being so hurt by the things that separated them. So emotions were taken away. Nobody was allowed to be different. Everybody had to be the same. And it became like this controlling, like, I don't know, it was like this dystopian culture that you would not want to be a part of, because part of what makes America interesting
is the fact that
is the melting
we're
pot
all
aspect,
different, right?
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, I feel like cultural appropriation is a touchy subject to touch on, and I hope that we've been respectful through it.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean, I just don't, it's so easy to offend and genuinely offend and maybe not unknowingly, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know what a lot of traditional garb things
mm-hmm.
are called and what they mean, because personally, I don't know in depth other cultures,
I think,
right?
It's impossible to know everything about every
right.
culture.
And so when I don't know if it's my fight, right? Like, can I really get mad if Selena Gomez is wearing a sari and a bindi in her video because she's not, like, is that real? Can I get mad because I'm Spanish? Or
and
I'm
people
Hispanic?
People will say yes because you are minority.
Mm-hmm.
And there is, like, yes, it is your responsibility to get upset because any cultural appropriation is bad. But then again, it's everyone's entitled to their opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And some people who are Indian
mm-hmm.
are looking at the Him for Weekend video and loving it. And they're like, wow, I'm so glad
yeah.
that people have exposure to this beautiful... You know, because
right.
we think about Christmas. Christmas songs aren't necessarily recorded during Christmas time. Does that take away from the beauty of Christmas?
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? So it's just those things where you start splitting hairs. Suddenly it's okay for everyone to have a voice. And
mm-hmm.
it's very vocal. And it's fine to do so. But I think that everything has to come with a level of balance.
For sure.
Now, folks, we always have a dumb moment. And I have a dumb moment. But do you have a dumb moment for this particular one?
I do have a dumb moment.
Okay.
I think my dumb moment would be...
Or a thing that makes you go, duh.
Duh. I think it's okay to be inspired by another culture, you should always keep in mind that you should always respect it and do it justice and know, maybe honor it, right? So I think if you're going to take something from another culture, like, what's your connection to it? Do you understand it? Did you take time to know what it means?
Mm-hmm.
And now you essentially become responsible
mm-hmm.
for maybe telling other people, like, okay, the bindi and henna, it means this and this and this, and this is why I like it, and this is what it really means. So
mm-hmm.
my dumb moment would be first, if you're going to take something and try to incorporate into your life, what's your connection to the culture? And, mm-hmm. and are you giving it as the respect that it's due?
Yeah. I think my duh moment would be what a lot of people who have felt personally victimized by cultural appropriation would mm-hmm. say, which is, my culture is not a costume. And if you have fallen into a place where you have before worn some sort of cultural garment in a mm-hmm. way that can be construed as disrespectful because you're doing it for a photo shoot or you're right. doing it for a Halloween costume or some ridiculous thing, like I was mentioning before, you only get the ignorant card once. Yeah. And now that you know you're responsible for mm-hmm. your actions, you have to understand that people are legitimately victimized and hurt by it.
Yeah.
And I think that if you have fallen into that, then you know what? Just suck it up. Let's live in the life that we're living in now.
Right.
And let's think about the fact that had somebody made fun of your family culture, your immediate family and what you guys do for a holiday, you would feel just as offended as someone who's like, my entire culture was insulted. So
yeah.
let's just think about it like that. Let's take ourselves out of it emotionally and think about what the other side must feel.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid to admit when you've made a mistake.
Right.
So thank you so much for tuning in. I know it was a bit of a heavy topic.
It was. I think we've been hitting like pretty heavy topics lately, and we can go so much deeper into the different topics.
We can go for hours talking about this. And you know, I know we have a lot of listeners from different cultures, mm-hmm. different backgrounds. Have you ever been a victim of cultural appropriation? Do you have a completely different opinion? And you're like, no, this is all appreciation,
right.
you know? So how can you appropriate things appropriately? Is there a way to do it? So write us, let us know, hit us up on email. We are at dumbamericanapodcast@gmail.com.
Yep, and our Twitter and Instagram at dumbamericana.
And just so you know, that's DUHMERICANA. We look forward to hearing from you guys, and we'll be back next week with another wonderful topic for you. Of course, we accept all suggestions.
All suggestions.
Please write us and let us know about your wine selections from earlier today.
Yes, please.
We're excited to hear from you guys. Thank you, and bye.
Bye.